Please turn with me this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, reading verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I want to speak this morning about one day in seven for God. That is the title. One day in seven for God. Now, I was a little bit torn. As you may know, we've had a couple of Bible studies on this subject in the lead up to this message. And as we did that, I spoke a lot about the spirit of the Sabbath. And so if you like, perhaps that could be our subtitle. I'm going to cheat. So one day in seven for God, seeking the spirit of the Sabbath. That's what I would say. This is perhaps the most, well, no, it is. This is the most debated command. If you lay aside debates with Roman Catholics about ignoring the second commandment and creating an extra one out of the 10th commandment so they can pretend it's not really there and they can have all their idols and images. This is the most debated commandment. It's a command that many people seem very keen to do away with, to get rid of. A command, I believe, that many professing Christians simply ignore. But if you want to know what it's all about, really, our title tells you. One day in seven for God. And at the outset, I am just preaching one Sunday morning message on this subject. We've had two Bible studies examining the connected New Testament passages, and I'll mention them, but I'm not going to go into detail on them. And if you want to know about those Bible studies, now they weren't recorded, but there are one or two pieces of information I can give you. But I want to give an overview of this command in two parts, as we do with other commandments. What does this commandment teach, first of all? What does it mean? And secondly, how should we live it out? And that's the interesting question, isn't it? But let's begin our thinking with an old illustration. I don't know how many times this has been used, and you may have heard it before. There's a man walking down the street, and he sees a beggar sat by the side of the road. And he takes pity. He has mercy on the beggar. And he feels in his pocket. And he finds that he has £7. And he thinks to himself, well, I'm not going past a bank anytime soon. I might need to buy a bottle of water or something. I'm just going to keep £1 just in case I need it. He gives the beggar £6. The beggar is not at all pleased, knowing he saw the man take the pound back. And he gets up and he beats up his kind benefactor and he steals the seventh from him. And I believe that is a very good picture of mankind's attitude to God's gift of a day of rest. 6 days for everything else. One day for God. No, we'll have that back as well. Ungrateful, unthoughtful, so wretched. And in addition to that little picture, an opening thought, something which really arrested me when I was thinking about this. This is one of the Ten Commandments. This is the eternal moral law of God. Men, women, boys and girls, all people in all ages will be judged by this law. Christian or not. And you may say, well, how can that be? What will they be judged for? It is simply this, coming to the spirit of it, the heart of it, not giving to God a due portion of time, time that he is worthy of. So let's think about, first of all, the actual command, the text before us. Here it is. Remember the Sabbath day. Now the people had already been taught very plainly the principle of a day of rest unto the Lord. And if you can remember when we were in Exodus before, we considered that. It's in Exodus chapter 16. Not going there this morning. No time for that. Now remember, Sabbath, the word, it means rest. Rest. Remember the day of rest, the Sabbath day. And it is here for Israel. It is the last day of the week, the seventh day. And now listen to me carefully on this as well. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I haven't changed my mind. I do not see in Scripture any evidence of a Sabbath day being observed between creation and Exodus chapter 16. Now, many people will differ with me on that. You can differ with me on that. That's fine. I just have to say that at the outset. I don't see it. And I don't rule it out, but I don't see it. And I'm be careful about the things that we can clearly see in Scripture and the things that we think are probably there, but we're not sure. I don't see it. I just mentioned that. We can disagree on it without falling out. And, you know, I say that hoping anyone who listens to this as well isn't going to write to me or something and get me in trouble. We're not going to go into that here, but you can listen to the sermon on Exodus 16 anytime you want. It's online, and think about that again. But what is clear and plain is this. The Lord has given to his people, he reiterates here on Mount Sinai, a day of rest. And it should be, and they're told to remember it because it's already been given to them. They already know about it, but they're pretty good at forgetting things. So are we. They're told to remember it, to keep it in mind. It should be a great blessing, a great gift. But for some people, even today, it seems that God's command is nothing more than a burden. A burden. Remember the Sabbath day, it says, to keep it holy. What does that mean? This day is to be kept. This day is to be observed. This day is to be protected, kept holy, set apart, different. And you know, the best way of expressing it I found is this, that it is a day of difference for a people who are different. You want to stand out from the world? You want to stand for the Lord? Keep his day. It's a day of difference for a people who are different. It goes on. The Lord says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. People often ignore this. Here's an important command. We are supposed to be productive people, not lazy people. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. If you are of working age and you're unemployed and you're not doing anything about it, why, that's shameful. If you can't find a job, well, that's sad. And, you know, all help and all grace be given to you that you find that. But if you choose to sit about when you could be productive, when you could be earning, when you could be supporting your family and helping with the bills, why, that's a shameful thing. If a man doesn't provide for his family, says the scripture, he is worse than an infidel. God's given us 6 days to be productive in, not to be lazy. And indeed, God gave 6 days for work. In our Western society, we've grown quite soft, and we all think that we have the right to 2 days off. Well, that wasn't God's original plan. I'm not saying that we can't have 2 days off. We can't have Saturday and Sunday. Most people do. Or another day and Sunday. But think of this. That was the day of rest. All the other six were for everything else. And in a sense, it's diluted our sense of the gift of a day of rest. But that's an aside. Work is commanded. It's not that we can't have holidays, by the way. We can only have one day off every seven. And well, Israel had holidays. Big national holidays. Week here, week there. Well, that's fine. That's good. We need that. But this is the every day, every week pattern. One day in seven is for resting. But the seventh day, says the scripture, is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. What does it say? The seventh day is his. The rest day is his. A day set apart for him. In it you shall do no work. And then it goes on. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your stranger who is within your gates. Anyone for whom you are responsible. It is, as it were, addressing heads of households here in this sense. This day is to be different from the other six in a marked way. In a way that affects not just you, but anyone who is part of your household, who lives within your house, as it were, who is under your authority. This day is different. But we're given a reason. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. And here we see the particular pattern for what we may call the Jewish Sabbath. It looks back to creation. The Sabbath day of rest was for Israel. It was the sign of the covenant God made with Israel on Mount Sinai, which is why breaking it carried a death penalty. And that was unique to them. That was part of their civil societal law. It was the sign of the covenant not to be broken. And it's a record and a memorial of God's creating work. Why did he rest on the seventh day? Didn't need to. He did it in order to set this pattern. He did it in order to set this pattern. We should all rest. God has no need of rest. What he also signaled, just in passing, of course, by resting on the seventh day, was that his work was complete. And it was, as he said, very good. There was, as it were, nothing more that he needed to do. Not a tweak here or an adjustment there. It was very good. God's perfect creation. That's what God did. And so his image bearers must do the same. And it says, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it a day of blessing, a sacred day. And the argument here for Israel is rock solid. They can't deny this for a second, can they? As I've said, this was a sign of the national covenant with a death penalty on it. But you say, that was then. And this is now. This is 2018. What does this have to do with us? What does this even mean to us in 2018? All the other commandments, you can work it out. It's pretty clear. But we don't even meet on, we don't observe the seventh day of the week. What's going on here? So here's the question, why does it even apply to Christians? And here is my answer to that in 5 brief headings. Firstly, because it is part of the 10 commandments. And do you know what? Even at my moments where I had my biggest doubts about this, I could never get past this. I could never argue myself around this point. I never have been. I never will do now. I'm sure of it. It's one of the 10 commandments. It's written in stone. It was written with the finger of God. It is a unique command. It must have relevance to us. It must do. It's part of the 10. It's not part of the ceremonial law of Israel. It's not part of the civil law of Israel. It's here in the 10. And yes, as I said, there are aspects of it that related to Israel specifically, But nonetheless, we're looking for what? The spirit of the Sabbath, the principle that abides, that which applies to us. So that's the first thing, part of the ten. Second, because as we saw in our Bible studies, Christ reveals himself in Luke 6:5 as the Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, reveals himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. Why? It matters to him. And he said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And so I'm looking to him for guidance. I'm looking to him to find out. And as Hebrews 4 says very clearly, there remains a rest for the people of God. And I'm not going into this now, but as we saw in the study, the word rest that's used there in Hebrews 4 is unique in the whole of the Greek New Testament. And it literally means there remains a Sabbath keeping. A Sabbath keeping. Not just rest. Not just rest in Christ. But a specific Sabbath keeping. It remains to the people of God. Thirdly, it's part of the ten. Christ has revealed it to us. Thirdly, because the Lord of the Sabbath alone has the authority to speak about it, and he changes the day. And we'll say more about this in a minute. The Lord of the Sabbath has changed the day. How dare we say this? I'll say this. We all know there have been those connected with our church in the past who very insistent on observing the seventh day instead of the first. I would just say with as much love as I can muster that some brothers and sisters have too much of the law and too little of the lawgiver. He's the lawgiver. This is his law. He gives it. He is fully able to amend it. Why do we say it? Because he did indeed rest on the Sabbath day, in the grave, on the seventh day of the week. And what did he do on the first day of the week? He rose from the dead. And it's not a day for lazing around, by the way, the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, Sunday. He moved about, he did things. He appeared to his disciples on the first day of the week as they are assembled together. He continued to do so. And then at Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit is given to the church. We know these things. And by the way, you might wonder, how do we know that the day of Pentecost was actually a Sunday? Because the day of Pentecost was always a Sunday. It wasn't a Sabbath. It wasn't a Saturday. Leviticus 23:15-16 gives the rules about how you find out when Pentecost is. It says 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. It's always a Sunday. 50 days after a Saturday, after the seventh Sabbath, is always a Sunday. Fourth reason, because we have the example of the apostles too, that bear out Christ's change of the day. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the disciples gathered to break bread, when? On the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16:2, the Apostle Paul calls the Corinthian church to bring their offerings, when? On the first day of the week. And finally, because John, the Apostle John, calls it the Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10. And people say, oh, it could be any old day. What other day could it be, friends? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Saviour appears to him and speaks with him. Why, it's the same as the day of resurrection. He appears to the disciples and speaks with them. The day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes. And now John has this kind of combination day. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Saviour appears and speaks to him and gives him the revelation. But why the change of day? People get stuck on this and they ask the question. And it's a fair question. Why did Christ seemingly suddenly move it? The answer most simply is this. Because under the old covenant, the Sabbath was a day to commemorate creation. And under the new covenant, The Lord's Day is the day to prefigure, to look forward to re-creation. All things made new. Christ is risen. And you know, I was so excited thinking about this. So excited to consider this, that Christ is risen. He has a glorious resurrection body, the like of which none of his people yet have. For his people are with him in glory, waiting the final day, waiting the day when he makes all things new, waiting the day when we will have new bodies, when our bodies shall be raised incorruptible. And his body alone at the moment is the first sign of the new creation that is coming. It's the only sign at the moment. We can't see it now. If we go to glory, we shall see it. And there it is. It's the first fruits, if you like, the prefiguring of all that is to come. And you say, okay, well, if the day has changed, isn't the fourth commandment just irrelevant to us then? Does it have no application? We meet together as the New Testament tells us to. And the rest is, well, the rest doesn't matter. Well, no, because the rest does matter. Different use of the word rest, you see. The rest does matter. The principle of rest from work for one day in seven, it remains. It remains. I thought you said the creation model applied to the Sabbath, to the seventh day, as in the commandment. It does. But it still stands as a pattern. It's from creation. This pattern is given to us. It's just not our main focus anymore. We remember that the Lord has created the heavens and the earth. Yes. But our focus is on redemption. Our focus is on re-creation. On this day. Which, by the way, both under the old covenant and the new, this day has been made for man. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Again, we look to our lawgiver, the Lord Jesus. He tells us it's to help and to serve and to bless us, not to dominate and to oppress us. What many don't realize is this, that Moses himself begins to teach that this day prefigures something greater, even in his time. When he teaches on the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he reiterates them, but he expands on them. And I'll just read to you what he says. And to start with, it sounds pretty much the same as Exodus chapter 20, but he says something very significant. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. What's he talking about? Not creation, redemption. He's talking about redemption. Even there, you were a slave. And friends, isn't it true of us the same? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. I was a slave, Jesus set me free. And I keep this day to remember him. Why would we ever want to keep another day? Or to go back to the old Sabbath? When we have such a Saviour and what he has done. Dr. Nick Needham says this, the Christian Sunday reveals to us the glory of Christ. No one else could change the day. But I submit to you that he has, and he is the Lord. I'll just make one little comment in passing here. People may ask, what about Colossians 2:16? that says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, or indeed that text that speaks of one man esteems one day higher than another, etc., etc. Quite plainly in context, this text is about choosing to observe or not to observe Jewish cultural practices. There were many other Sabbaths than the Sabbath. And the fact it's plural is referring to the various Sabbaths, not the Sabbath day. You see, converted Jews were completely free to observe any of their of the Old Covenant ceremonies or whatever they wished to do. And as we discussed in Bible study, the early Christians, most of them Jews, by and large, they would have kept the Sabbath in a society that was keeping the Sabbath in the seventh day. And yes, they met on the first day, but as their society around them rested, they still did so. They wouldn't be giving offence needlessly. Friends, all this said, knowing that there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of God, knowing that one day in seven is for rest and to be kept holy for the Lord, how should we live? That's the question. How should we live? And you're not going to get a do and don't list from me. I think you probably know me well enough by now to know that I would never do that and I would never say that. People come to me, oh, should I do this on a Sunday? Should I do that? You think I'm going to answer you? I'm never going to answer you. Never, never, never. I love the wording of one of the great old catechisms, reform catechisms, on this very point. It's the Heidelberg Catechism. It asks the question, what is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? And the answer is this. Firstly, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. You see, the Lord's Day is about figuring all that is to come. And we gather together as a tiny representation on earth of the glorified spirits in heaven and of the eternal company, the enormous company that shall gather and shall throng the new heavens and the new earth in all ages to praise the Lord our God. This is a glorious day. This is a precious day. And yes, we are to rest every day of our lives, not just one day in seven. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We do rest in him. We rest from our sin. We trust in him entirely. That is all true. All true. But we have a day. A day given to us. A day for the Lord. And you see, here's something that I was thinking about as well. We all understand, Christians generally understand, that the Old Testament principle of the tithe 10% for the Lord, that doesn't apply to Christians. But what we understand is this, that the principle of giving does apply to us. And if we are able to give more, we should. And in fact, it could be quite sinful if we were very wealthy just to say, oh, I've given my 10%, I can keep all the rest for me. And we have no need of all of that. We could give it to the Lord. And it could be sinful. Who knows? I'm not speaking about anybody's circumstances here. It could be. It depends where your heart is. Nobody will question that. Nobody says, oh no, we don't have to give at all anymore. Nobody questions that. So why do they do it with the Lord's Day and say, well, we don't have to keep that day anymore and we can just sleep through it and we can pay no attention to the Word of God. We can do what we like with the Lord's Day. I don't understand that. Now, you're not going to get a don't list from me, but you can see there are things that we ought to be doing on the Lord's Day. What can't I do, people say? That's always the wrong way to think. And you know what? It's always going to make you miserable if you think like that. Think of this day instead in a different way. Think of this day as sacred. Think of this day as a day to be adorned and to be polished up and to be shined up. This is going to be the best day. You have children? This should be the best day of the week for them too. Take your children's toys away on the Lord's Day. I just don't understand that. I don't understand that, making it a misery for children. It's the way to lead them in a different direction, I think. Very difficult indeed, but make it special. This day is sacred. It's set up by a loving God to serve you as your help in life. Our society, you see, is addicted to busyness, not business, busyness. And it's not time. I haven't got time for that. I haven't got time for that. What is gentle? What is quiet? What is beautiful is crowded out. Oh, I must have the TV on. I must have this. Maybe take some time when it isn't on. See, I'm not telling you to turn it on or off. I'm just suggesting. Maybe put that to one side. Maybe don't go online. Maybe don't check your phone. Maybe don't check your email. Maybe just leave that to one side and you'll find suddenly there is time for prayer. There is time perhaps to read that Christian biography that's going to inspire you and bless you and help you. There is time to read the scriptures that perhaps you've lost time in reading this week. There is time for your family. There is time to phone your friend who needs encouragement. There is time to visit the sick. You will find the time if you make the time and you've been given a day for it. Our society is addicted to busyness. Our loving God requires that we spend a day on these things. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. And this day is for rest now and for looking forward to the great rest that will come in eternity. If you think of the day as some kind of demanding rule, you're going to be crushed by it. You're wrong. But we love rules. We love tick boxes. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it. I'll be all right. Christianity never worked that way. It never did. Legalism will always find its way in. I've probably told you before. I heard someone speak on this subject once, and they said when they were a child and they went on holiday, on Sundays, they went for a walk in the afternoon, but it had to be a Sunday walk. They were only allowed to walk along God's cliffs and not allowed to walk along God's beach. Probably in case it was too much fun or something like that. That was his... We don't walk along the beach on a Sunday. Oh, that's crazy. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. And as we fellowship together, all these things, why we shouldn't be thinking like that? You may say, well, what if I have to work on this day? What if I do have to work and it's unavoidable? The Saviour has covered that, friends. Luke chapter 6 teaches us the principles that apply. Works of necessity, works of mercy need to be done, will be done. But friends, the point is we should make every effort to keep this day free for the Lord. And some people say, oh, it could be any day of the week. And they're right to an extent. But the people who say that never keep any day of the week free for the Lord. They have no day for the Lord. You see, if you have to work Sunday, you should be resting another day, giving another day to the Lord, giving another day to your spiritual development, giving another day to that. And if you do, he will bless you. Because it's not about the particular 24 hours per se. It is about the principle, the spirit of the Sabbath. This is for you, my God. And he knows your heart. And that's one area where we see the difference between the old covenant and the new and how we apply the commandments. So what should we do with this sacred day? Let's make it and keep it different. This is our witness to a watching world. We saw a little of it. Even recently, Christmas Day falls on a Sunday. We're still going to gather morning and evening. Why? Because Christmas Day is invented by men, but the Lord's Day is instituted and given by God. You see, you say, why do we meet twice on a Sunday? We read Psalm 92 together. It gives us a pattern of old-time Sabbath keeping. to, what does it say at the beginning of Psalm 92? It's clearly stated it's a song for the Sabbath day, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. And that's what we do within these walls. And that's why we do it. We won't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. We'll keep the day. It's the Lord's day, friends, not the Lord's hour, not the Lord's half an hour or whatever. We should make the public worship of God and supporting it the highest priority in our life. And I say this to you, friends, with personal experience. We got married, Claire and I. Claire came from a nominally Christian / non-Christian family. They always did family things on a Sunday. And I'm not saying we never went round to our family a Sunday lunchtime for a meal when we could, because that was a perfectly legitimate thing to do. We did that. But then when we became more busy on the Lord's Day with ministry, we were doing children's work as well, we had to say to them, sorry, but God comes first. And my former brother-in-law, who was a Roman Catholic, said, oh, family first always. I said, no, I'm afraid, God first. God first. This is the scripture. This is what it teaches. And that's what we did. And it was a bit upsetting to start with. It was a bit difficult. But we held firm and we prayed, and we found that before long, all the big family events were suddenly happening on Saturdays. And then we were there, and God blessed us in it. Just hold firm, my friend, hold firm. So keep this day sacred. I'm not saying don't spend time with your family, don't have meals with your family, etc. No, not at all. But put everything that is Godward first within this day. Make this day about Him, not about something else. And do things which help you to worship. What do you do on a Saturday night to help you to worship God on a Sunday morning? From the state of some of you sometimes, honestly, I think you stay up too late because you're sleeping in the morning service. And I don't know what's going on. It distresses me, it grieves me to see eyes shut in the worship of God. It distresses me greatly. Friends, I'm not saying it hasn't happened to me in the past and I haven't fallen asleep in church, because I have. But oh, we should do everything we can, everything, to be ready to worship God. Something's going to make you tired, something's going to make you late, something's going to make you distracted. Let it go. Let it go. Put God first. God's people gather to hear the word preached, to sing the praise of our Almighty God, who has saved us from eternal death and promised us eternal glory, this foretaste of heaven. And you think something else is more important? It isn't. It isn't. Use the day to His glory, friends. Do what blesses your soul. Read good things. Leave the email, leave the Facebook, leave the 24/7 news cycle. Let it be. Let worldly minds this world pursue. It holds no charms for me. Yes, we've got to live in the world. But one day of the week we get to be in the world and not of the world. Truly we do. Maybe go and visit a sick or lonely person. It's not a day to be lazy, but a day to rest from the usual, the everyday. Make it special. Do your shopping the day before. Do your prep the day before. Make it special. Know this. God has blessed this day, hallowed this day, given this day for you, the Lord's Day. I pray that we might all discover, rediscover the spirit of the Sabbath. It is between you and your God. It is a matter of the heart. But we have a Saviour who has redeemed us, who has risen from the dead, and who is returning. Three things, three R's. He's redeemed us, He's risen from the dead, and He's returning. Oh, make the day all about Him and all about that. And I close with the glorious scripture from Isaiah. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. May God bless his word to our hearts. Amen.